Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Well, I think that's our the darkness in which we find ourselves is we are prone to these distractions, and then we're trying to interpret our human experience or the gospel or God from the distraction instead of from the gospel, the true gospel, the declaration of that Jesus has brought us. What he says to be true about us. Because I liked what you were saying a while ago. You're not your failures. You are not your past. You are not your weaknesses. You're not your temptations. Let's see what time it's 11.
Yeah, we're going to get a neater sandwich.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get my bearings off of the...
I mean, which south of supposed to be.
I know, you got a directional thing on this truck.
And we're headed south.
Theoretically.
It just don't make sense in my head.
Well, there's a lot in your head that don't make sense, James.
How you know?
Because I've been your friend a long time.
Oh, I follow you now. I see what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah. But hey, now we may have to get us a new episode about the mind of Christ.
There we go.
Okay.
That's where my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live, right down there.
Okay, so
you go that way on this road, you come out of Magnolia.
Okay. All right. See, I'm glad you know where you're at.
I know where we're at.
I guess we're on our way to Nita's.
That's right. Nita's barbecue, baby.
Get another turkey sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna get. You can get what you want.
Have you ever eaten anything other than that?
I don't think I.
It's hard to move away from what you know is good.
They got chopped beef, pulled pork, you know, whatever else.
I might. I'm trying to think if I'm gonna venture out.
I'm gonna get a large turkey sandwich with bacon, curly fries, and a root beer.
Okay,
that's my standard.
I'm probably going to do the same thing. Okay. In trying to practice letting it go, how do you sit with it without giving attention to it?
Asking me?
Yeah. Trying to get you to instruct me.
Well, I find myself just telling myself that letting that go. It's not an issue anymore. I'm just going to let it go.
Let it go.
I just do whatever. Doing that, what happens is you get crucified.
Desires get crucified.
Things you might want to do. Yeah. You end up getting killed because somebody else makes a decision.
Yeah.
Just let it go. But I have found oftentimes when I let things go, it's been
especially things that I really can't change. Now, I can change things, but there might not be a altogether harmonious outcome.
May not be worth the change.
Yeah. But when I let things go, sometimes I just start laughing because of the peace and joy that's in there. There wasn't when I was trying to hang on to something and change it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I often find myself just saying, I let that go. I let it go. I don't have a dog in that fight. If that's what you want to do, that's what we're doing. That's my attitude. Is that what you do?
Oh, I don't think it's worth it. I don't do very good at it at all. That's the reason I'm asking. I flop between letting it go and harboring it.
I got you. Well, it's okay. Because that's what repentance is, a continuing of changing your mind.
Yeah.
Continuing, constantly letting it go.
Well, my problem is, how do I change my mind when what I need to let go is telling me the wrong stuff in my mind? And there's the group home I used to manage right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Here's the geese.
There's the geese, yeah.
Let's hope they stop. I'll wait for
them. If they don't, probably will. They always thought that little pond was pretty.
Yeah. People fish in there. See them fishing. Mm-hmm. Often.
And the little church across the way used to have a chime that, on the hour. Like bells, yeah. And a bell that would ring on an hour.
Yeah, they do. Still. I know this one up here, that's the Methodist Church.
Okay.
I've heard it would be at the Broken Beam. Right. And I've heard it chime.
Yeah, though.
That was awfully nice of that brother to buy us breakfast and coffee this morning.
Well, that's good. It was good. It's good to see everyone at the Broken Beam this morning.
Yeah. We didn't get to film anything because we were having technical difficulties.
Yeah. That's okay.
Guess we just needed to film in the truck.
I suppose.
The Broken Bean is a coffee shop here in Minden. It's owned and ran by the local Teen Challenge Ministry. I think the Methodist Church donated that building to them that they housed the coffee shop in.
I think that's right.
A lot of young women that work there are being helped by Teen Challenge.
Oh yeah, it's a tremendous ministry.
Well, there's a good looking Chevrolet sitting over there, I'm telling you.
It's a good looking Chevy truck there. But probably right there on the right, Chuck's, is that ice cream? No, that's ice cream. That's going to be after.
Yeah.
We'll go to I'm going to go there, and I don't know if you are or not.
Go with it. Shake those pounds.
Isn't that funny?
Right next door. That's the place to have it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Eat an ice cream and go next door and do some shaking.
Yeah. Oh, diesel $3.29 there.
Is that cheap?
Yeah.
Cheaper, yeah. Isn't diesel a byproduct of the process of making gasoline?
I do think it's something like that. It's basically stuff they would throw away. It would be classed as a waste product.
They learned to turn it into a profit.
Yeah. I don't truly understand the whole refining process of taking a, what a barrel of oil, how it gets refined, and at what temperature the products separate out.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated we figured all that out.
Yeah. Well, the Lord doesn't mind progress.
No.
Matter of fact, I think all of life and eternity is going to be just the progression for those that will.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have a problem with them wandering around the wilderness for about 40 years. He provided for them in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Shoes and clothes didn't wear out, and he fed them every day. Gave them water from a rock. However you want to look at that, I mean, they could have progressed and moved on to the land of milk and honey, reaped a harvest they never planted.
Well, I read that story, I have two thoughts about the basis of the story, because it does appear that, as I read it, that the generation that wandered in the wilderness, God prepped them totally, completely, and fully for conquest, but they would not believe, so there's that. And then the other is that even their failure became typology for a greater truth, which he foredo also. No, and I don't think she went.
I wish the old seminary building and all was still up here. We could stop in the bookstore and see if we can find a book.
Well, you can go to the new bookstore.
That's where I got this Williams New Testament when I was in seminary.
Oh, way back then.
My brother turned me on to it. He was telling me about it one day. I just gave me one. You didn't follow my lead earlier. I'm waiting on you to lay something out there so we can lead on.
What are we leading on? What did I not follow your lead on?
Conversations.
What? I thought I did pretty good talking about it.
Well, you went to Hebrews.
Well, yeah, I had to finish my thought.
Okay. That's fine.
So since I was on Hebrews, I was in Hebrews 12 just talking about the fact that you have forgotten that you're sons, that he called you a son.
I don't get it.
But you were gonna lead me somewhere before I interrupted you.
No.
But I don't have a clue what you were just talking about.
I was just saying we could go back to Romans 6:7, follow along and see what it said. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. There's lots in there talking about that same idea. And then we could unfold it all with the plan.
You act like I could do that.
Yeah. I just strained the pearls out. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what we've been doing all day.
We
got to go back and look at them all over again.
No, it's the same thing. You just keep going, dig deeper.
Oh.
No, it's just my idea.
All right, so where we gonna redig a well at?
What did he say?
Narrow it down a little bit for me, James.
He said for...
Hey, you can go now.
See, that's why I didn't want to grab it. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And here it is right here. And if we were co-crucified with the anointed one. See, You can read it. I can't read it. He's just going deeper. How is it that we're dead? Well, if we were co-crucified.
Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of His life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, His resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over Him is finished.
Amen. See, that's the same thing. That's saying the same things.
Oh, let me keep reading.
Over and clean. Yeah, keep reading.
For by His sacrifice, He died to sin's power once and for all. But now He lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So, let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with Him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One.
In union with Jesus, that's our life.
That is our life. It's the only life we have.
We've been co-crucified, raised, we died. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I like the way he says, so let it be the same way with you. It's orientating our life from the good news.
Yeah.
Of what Jesus has done for us.
Yeah, we don't know what he's done. We think he just died to save us from the wrath of an angry God. So we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. One day in heaven, we'll maybe be happy with a cabin in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been sniffing that rabbit out a while, too. Just a meager existence down here. One day, we're going to make it to the real life.
Yeah.
We don't realize we have real life right now in the person of the resurrected Savior that shares His life with us.
I suppose that the same idea that Adam and Eve dealt with, we still deal with from this perspective, that the temptation they faced was that they needed to eat from the forbidden fruit tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in order to become something they already were.
That's right.
That was the lie. That was the temptation that they in. Of course, Jesus came and he didn't eat from that tree, though he was challenged with that. If you're the Son, then you need to do these things.
Yeah.
Turn the stones to bread. All this kind of stuff. It's the same thing. It's either you got to do in order to become, or you got to prove that you are.
Yeah.
And which neither one of them is right. But we're still in that struggle. But Christ's victory is in that. In that he's like, no, I came to show you who you really are. Now trust me in this. You are my child. You don't have to become anything else. You already are. I'm going to teach you how to live as you are, into how it will manifest in life.
So you think part of his coming was to show us how to live the life that's ours?
Yes, I do. Do you? What do you think?
Yeah. That's what I think.
He said, I come that you may have life. It is his life. It's his quality of life.
So,
but it's not a life free of temptation or free of confrontation or free of difficulty. It's a fully human experience.
So it's really just a matter of that, an understanding of what we've talked about before. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news.
Yeah.
There's no more distance, no more delay. I'm here and I brought my world with me. And you can live in it.
Yeah.
But you got to change the way you're thinking.
Yeah. And I'm just discovering there's a lot to learn about living in it. But at the same time, it's really simple.
Yeah.
It's just learning to live loved and aware of His presence within and listening for what He may be instructing you to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the struggle of it. It's just a, it's at the heart, it's a relationship with a person.
Yes.
And that's something we struggle with.
Yeah, because we want to drift to some performance-based, tell me what I need to do, give me a checklist, what's the rules of the game.
Yeah, give me that book.
Yeah, yeah, make it about something external to you.
Yeah, we're pretty good at working the system, as it were.
Yeah, well, we're born and raised in this world system.
Yeah.
And our earthly parents raise us to how to function in this world system.
Yeah.
And then you go to church and you get added to that a religious system that you've got to do. And all that confuses and clouds the issue with just simply believing the good news.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we're trying to say and believe and understand is there's a whole different world available to us that we can live from and live in. We are in. The kingdom of heaven is within you. But there's a whole different realm where you don't have to strive and work and earn. You can receive.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you need.
Right.
Because, I mean, he talked about it in Matthew 6, where he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But what was he talking about? He's talking about your clothes, your food, your shelter. And he said, look at the birds. You don't see them gathering into a barn.
Yeah.
Well, they're completely dependent on the Father to take care of them, and they're content.
Yeah.
That's a whole different perspective, boy. Then you better get out there and make it happen. If you don't,
well, I've even had people say, well, the bird's got to get up and go find the worm every day. I'm like, well, yeah, he does, but it's not with stress and worry. That's the difference. That's what's so hard to get people to understand, is that not saying that you don't do something, but you do it for love. You don't do it with worry and stress. You don't carry a burden of as if it's all on
you.
Or yeah, it's not duty at all. And those were the things that Jesus was trying to get us to understand. Because the kingdom is within you. All right, so when you seek first the kingdom, you are seeking for God to rule on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And it's a peaceable kingdom.
When you live there, live from there, life's just better.
All right, if you're trying to define the the quality of your life by your external circumstances, which is the wrong way to look at it, you may come up with a different opinion about things. When Jesus talked about eternal life, he wasn't just talking about the duration of life. He was talking about a quality of life that exists on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Regardless of what your external circumstances may be.
Yeah.
Peace, love, joy.
Yeah.
Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness.
Yeah, you look at the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, the first three you mentioned, he's like, you know, the kingdom of God's righteous, joy, and peace.
Yeah.
So where God rules, that's what's reigning. What's being produced, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's from that source or foundation that everything else begins to be interpreted or dealt with or have dominion over.
Yeah.
We have dominion over the earth, but it starts with God having dominion over you on the inside.
Yeah.
And then from that place of yieldedness and partnership and relationship together, you begin to deal with the external things. And I think just keeping that order is extremely important. That it's always inside out, not externally in.
Yeah. But I think there's an aspect of beating your swords into plowshares. That's an external
right
manifestation. So there's an aspect of that can come to your life individually. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. I hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.